I've seen people use Mistral 7B inside the MCP server, meaning the LLM or the main agent is querying another LLM who's greenlighting or flagging which data is coming in and coming out on a scale like we've never seen before.
Welcome to the AI Advantage, where modern leaders decode the future of tech. I'm Solomon Williams, founder of Solanox. So here, it's no noise, no hype every week. Sometimes it's just me, and sometimes it's the brightest minds in tech, breaking down what it really takes to grow smarter with AI and automation. Let's dive in.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Solomon Williams. I have a special guest, Naman Bajpai. He's the CTO of Entropy to Order, so ETO, aka Naman. Thanks so much for being on the call. Can you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and just kind of like a little bit more about ETO?
Hey, Solomon, thanks for having me on the pod. ETO right now is a company that allows you to bring stocks onto the blockchain, and it's a really revolutionary product that I feel like is saving the industry $1.4 billion a year if productionalized at this particular rate. And I am Naman. I'm a sophomore at Drexel University, and I've been working in AI since I was 16. I started off with aerospace back home in India, came here to the United States, got deeply involved in deep tech training neural network models. Started a company called ClassCut, which was an AI video search engine for students. Then went on to hack MIT, where me, John, and Ujjwal, my other two ex-co-founders, we started a company called EncryptTech AI that did privacy and compliance for companies who wanted to train ML and RL models on really, really private data in a regulatory compliant manner. We did this by using federated learning and homomorphic encryption, and logged every single piece of data transfer on-chain and built compliance software around it that took down the time from 6 weeks to 6 seconds.
So with that, like, what about it did you see with the industry, with everything with compliance and so forth? Because this is a big thing for within the in our space of, as AI agents are continuing to move forward, especially when you're looking at in terms of, you know, for company, for HIPAA, for on the healthcare side, for fintech, for the government side. So what have you seen in terms of what is like the big pieces that in terms of compliance that your company and then yourself is looking for to make sure that you're providing that security?
Okay, so there are two ways people usually go about doing compliance in the industry right now. If you look at a Fortune 500 company, the way they do compliance is they have all of their data in Azure. In like blob storage, they set up a quick pipeline and send it over to desensitize it or anonymize it and send it over to OpenAI and Azure. And that's their entire internal tooling pipeline. Right? That can be sing one. But that is slightly or unregulated company data that they usually work on. But whenever it comes to really, really sensitive data like HIPAA, this is where my old company EncryptTech would come in. We would take in your data and we would turn it into noise so that no human being can understand that noise, but computers can. And if you give him enough noise input and output, and only you can decode the noise, that's how you would get encrypted training, right? This technique is called differential privacy. And the way I would like to personally put it, it's getting the wisdom without getting the knowledge. So those are the two ways industry is doing compliance at the moment.
Yeah. So with that, on that side of it, you know, I'm curious to have it because as when you're kind of starting off and with these companies, so forth, else, as they're more over to on the privacy and for the agents, what do you see as the trend kind of coming forward as it's going forward as continuously as these agents continuing to scale, especially just on the side as more coming to get more involved and on that side, what do you see in terms of the competition in terms of all these, you know, whichever what to choose from? And then what I'm curious on as your company is having to navigate through and just always continuously to see through the trend. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does completely. So the way people are right now are doing private agents is by isolating LLMs into their own home servers that are not connected to the internet or using services like Azure OpenAI or AWS Bedrock, which have Anthropic and OpenAI models available to them. And I personally feel like whenever it does come to AI agents, isolation is key to preventing sensitive information getting out or having a thin layer of compliance on top. So the best way I've seen a bunch of cloud architects do it is they have a compliance agent that has the compliance tech, compliance as code in pedantic base classes. And if the data that is going outside on the internet or to OpenAI resembles elements inside those pedantic base classes, it's usually flagged or not sent. So that's the trend it's usually going into. And I feel like MCP servers are also playing a huge role in whenever it does come to agent privacy, is because what used to happen before was LLMs got the entire database. They got trained on it or fine-tuned, and that would compromise a lot of safety. So what's happening now is that LLMs can only specifically query X data, so they don't get the full context. And you can build in features inside the MCP server itself to be like, hey, if I'm giving you the last four digits of the social security number, I'm not giving you my name, my mother's maiden name, and my first pet or the street that I grew up in. Like, you can make those distinctions inside MCP servers. And I've seen people use Mistral 7B inside the MCP server, meaning the LLM or the main agent is querying another LLM who's greenlighting or flagging which data is coming in and coming out on a scale like we've never seen before. At this point, I've seen systems scale up to terabytes of data, specific both SQL, non-SQL, and vector, where this system works. And I feel like if you combine it and mix it with A2A, you have a production-ready pipeline that can be deployed to over 20,000 users like tomorrow.
With that, as it's kind of moving forward with that, you know, what have you seen, especially now as like the CTO, like with it being on the CTO, now you're getting more on the leadership side, you know, what does that day-to-day kind of look like for you? Are you still looking for more ins on how to constantly try to utilize for on the sensitivity scale of providing it? Are you looking to kind of, you know, continue to refine on that side? The reason why I ask is I'm always so curious on just on the leadership side, kind of moving over from the engine, moving to more of that large scale case for the business. So I'm on that.
Okay, so the thing that we're personally seeing ourselves right at the moment is that the technology itself is so rapidly progressing, is the fact that solidifying something like, for example, I had a security MCP server, right? And it's querying an LLM, the LLM's greenlighting, all of that. But the pace at which newer privacy tech is evolving, especially compliance tech for compliance systems like NERC can be a huge one, then SOC 2, all of these. So they're evolving at such a pace is that everything that we do use is at a beta stage. Productionizing this technology, I feel like, is going to take 3 to 4 more months where we do have a clearer picture of, hey, this can be a checkpoint. We can, you know, feel like, hey, this is good. This is bleeding edge. We're using this. Because figuring out, everybody right now is just figuring out technologies. 95% AI products are in pilot or pre-prod at the moment, which does look like a lot of the industry.
Right.
Because Fortune 500 companies, especially companies inside utilities, are really gearing up to use this. For example, a good use case can be, you know, looking through compliance docs themselves. And those use cases, I feel like, can be really easily done with this same MCP server-esque thing or isolated LLMs, but they are still in pilot and seeing huge adoption curves, but technology is way too new and it's moving at the speed of light. And it's really hard to solidify, you know, this is going to be the final product.
Right.
If you're not moving at the speed of light itself.
Right. So on the privacy side for the evolving, because this is the key thing on, especially for our business, Solinux, it's these smaller, you know, focusing on the small to the medium-sized companies, SMBs, and everyone having to adjust and so forth. Like, I've seen a big push, and sometimes you hear a lot of the hype, going on with the ages. Like I said, you know, all of these and figuring out which one is which, and, you know, everything is still like in pilot. You know, we're still adjusting to figure out where like the tangible results coming from these as AI moving more toward. Of course, it can help with other pieces. So as it's rapidly evolving, as you said, do you think that more that the merger with Gemini, with Anthropic, with OpenAI, you think in like in the next year or so, is it going to be focused more on these tangible results and focusing more on the build out to actually help it? Or do you think it's going to get more over towards the low code, the no code side? Because I know a lot of people are really looking more at the, you know, the hype around it, like, and whether it's going to be a consistency, whether it's on the side.
So the way OpenAI is doing it is just essentially operating as a research lab and a company together, where I know if I have access to OpenAI Pro or Plus, I'm going to get the most bleeding edge stuff the fastest, right? So OpenAI's business model revolves around being bleeding edge and giving people as quick access to the technology as possible. Whenever it comes to Anthropic, they have found a perfect niche whenever it comes to coding models. So if you want your model to write code, that's Anthropic. And they've really doubled down on it, not releasing as many models as Anthropic, as ChatGPT or OpenAI. But when they do release a model, it's really, really good. And you know it's going to work. So that's the lane Anthropic is picking. And Google themselves are picking the integration lane, because they have, I guess, like an infinite amount of products out at the moment. And integrating AI, especially whenever it comes to search, whenever it comes to summarization of emails, or do Google Meet we were in before? Gemini was taking notes. So Google is trying to play the integration game. And if you look at the Chinese industry, what they are trying to do is play an open source game. Because if their open source sees adoption, that does build a lot of their infrastructure in China. And I feel like it's a great thing for the industry as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think that with the chat of having an open more source, especially, you know, using tools like N8 with the workflows, do you think that should be a push more over towards on how the open source model and having it being able to connect through? Or do you still feel like that's still going to be a little bit of a gray area when in terms of compliance and security standpoint of that?
So whenever it comes to using tools like N8N, the one thing that you do lose is customizability, right? And customizability is a huge thing whenever it comes to compliance, right? If you have data that isn't HIPAA, FERPA, NERC, extremely sensitive, you're probably good with N8N. Like, go ahead, use as much as you want. But whenever it does come to those like really edge case scenarios, I feel like no code platforms aren't going to do the job. And if you buy a product from a company like Databricks or Snowflake, these companies' products, I feel like, do a really good job whenever it does come to those edge cases.
No, yeah, I think so with that. So on the side, you know, with kind of going, because I'm really wanting to learn more about ETOs and entropies to order side. So what have you seen that's been really working for you and your team and on that side? And then what has been maybe like some frustration that you're kind of going over that you see in the industry?
Okay. So are you talking about the product side or the internal tools that we personally use to like optimize work?
Just as whole with the business and so forth else up working through and kind of seeing it with your products and just with your clients that you work side.
So right now, what we're personally figuring it out is at what scale do we want to adopt AI? Because that's a really important question you want to ask yourself. Because whenever you're betting on something, personally, I feel like you can only bet on two things. You can bet on the fact that the technology is as good as it's going to get.
Yeah.
Or this is nothing. This is just the beginning. Right? So we're betting on the second, making sure that every single product that we do build that does go out to our customers is based on an open standard and something that can very rapidly be changed. So open source as well. And really keeping it open on the Python and Rust side. So yeah, that's where we're at.
So do you feel like that is like the metric milestone that you're looking for in the next, I would say like in that next, you know, 6 months, by the end of the year, by this time next year, that you're looking to kind of focus on as ETO's big milestone? Or has it been more on the scaling side? Like, what would you like to see ETO?
I feel like it's been on both. First is solidifying product. I feel like it really evolves with the new technology that's coming in. Like, for example, recently whenever MCP came out, right, that was a turning point for us. I'm like, hey, we really need to change our product to accept this standard because everybody is going to be using it, right? That was thing one. Now, with the advent of like multi-agent systems, MCP and A2A, we're like, hey, let's have an open registry of sorts that stores all of our MCP servers. That can be something. And we scale at the same time. We look at the new products that come in and we're like, hey, how can this help us scale? So that's the line of thinking that is around the new tech that's coming on. And solidification is the stability version, meaning whenever we come out with like, hey, ETO's stuff, like version 1.2, it's stable with this current version, but we're at 1.5 right now, where you get the latest technology, but it's not as stable as 1.2, for example. Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, with the how you're kind of scaling, how do you evaluate which new, because like you said, there's so many different ones that you kind of find through kind of picking the final three or finish two. How do you and your team really evaluate to which new products are worth integrating as you're scaling?
Okay. So whenever we look into, you know, hey, is this worth integrating? Is it going to help my customer? Right? And then I do go and we make a mock-up and then we go to our customer. Then we mom test the entire thing. I'm like, hey, is this some problem that you're facing? Like what we know AI is really good at is doing the knowledge heavy lifting. Right? It can regurgitate, process, and comprehend knowledge at a scale that we haven't seen before. So whenever it comes to remember knowledge-heavy tasks, we are like, hey, is this a knowledge-heavy task? We figure out, hey, X, Y, and Z. If they're knowledge-heavy tasks, they can probably be automated by AI. Mm-hmm. Then we take out two sectors of the product, A-B test the whole thing across different variations, and then if we see good responses with like the feedback button or if the users are using the product, then it means, yeah, we are succeeding.
So are you seeing like as a trend, like with the that you're coming in or doing these mockups for the customers, are you seeing like a specific like workflow or process that is more continuously that you can use to kind of, I wouldn't say templatize, but like see that this is a common trend for customers that they're utilizing that you and your team have perfected?
Yes, exactly. So the one thing that I feel like that is a necessity at the moment is either a RAG-based support chatbot, right? One which can like have conversations about your product at length with the customer, help them debug it, help them, you know, think about different use cases.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the one. So we have a simple GPT-5 model that's connected to an Azure AI search database, and we have like all the PDFs, everything like processed via docking, which can come to a custom schema, which is ported over to AI search.
Yep. I think that that's a big piece of it, because when we're utilizing with chatbots, it's a hit or miss sometimes. I feel like now it's getting a little bit better in terms of how are you feeding the data? How are you kind of going through? Is there an internal repo that they're utilizing to be able to kind of work with? I think that has been most of what people are moving toward on that.
I feel like tuning and use case specification is a huge thing, right? Because whenever it does come to, I've seen a lot of people in the industry like, hey, how can I replace my employees with AI agents? And I'm like, no, that's not how it works, right? Cannot replace humans with AI because it's just a tool, a really good one, but just a tool. So the way I personally look into it is this. If you have 25 employees serving 50 customers, now you can serve 500 customers with the same 25 employees rather than serving the same 50 customers with one.
Yeah, and I think that's the case of it, because I think that a lot of from that side. It's you want to lower the cost. You want to be able to, you know, add more profit, your margins considerably for that. But, and I think that's the disconnect of it is of, you know, this, the AI, which is, as you said, it's very powerful. It's still a benefit to us. You still need that human connection. You still need that, you know, one-to-one with that. I think that's where we're needing to see more of. And I think, you know, as leadership kind of gets more involved, they're going to recognize that because it's not just on just how can we save on the cost side, how is we benefit? And then at the end of the day, how can we enrich our relationship? How can we enrich our consumers on the side, whether you're B2C or if you're from a B2B side from your businesses, how are we providing more enrichment and value to our customers and to our partners?
And I, for example, specifically for me, what we've done is we've taken wikis, we've taken documentation, we've taken every single piece of thing, like piece of information that we have on our product, sometimes even internal communication messages, if they're relevant. And I think we used Claude 3.5, you know, to retrieve more context about this particular document, add more, and then run it through our vectorized semantic search. And I do feel like that is something it can really help with, especially whenever it comes to if you're running a B2B SaaS product, AI debugger or an AI agent that helps you maintain and run the product can be really, really helpful.
Yeah. So if you're kind of giving advice to like, you know, other CTOs and so forth in the business on specifically focusing on the chat, but what would you give as a suggestion to them to help, you know, keeping that support chatbot like knowledge up to date as projects and, you know, products and like documentations change? What would be your advice to that?
It's not about the AI. It's always about your customer. Because the way I've been seeing a lot of businesses adopt AI is like, hey, this thing is coming. We don't know anything about it. Can we do something with it? Question mark. Right? It's not the way to go about it, right? For example, the way I usually go about, you know, figuring out if you need AI, she's like, hey, what problems does your customer have, right? Not enough customer support, for example, because like there are only three people in the company. One of them is building product, one of them is managing the company, and the third one is doing customer support. And you have multiple people pinging that person, and it's like really hard to respond to so many customer care queries. This is where you come in, is like, hey, what can we have a workflow automation that responds to customer queries? Yeah, sure. Then you feel like, yeah, oh, we can use AI now. So just figure out what your customer needs. And if that path leads to AI, which in a lot of cases it does,
yeah,
that's the time to use it rather than the other way around.
Got it. So with that said, you know, and you know, one of the few I wanted to ask is if you wanted to solve like a major challenge in the AI in this in the privacy space, you know, for ETO, what would it be on the side?
Okay, that's a tough question. So I have two responses to it. I would make the hardware better, because the hardware that we have right now, especially the NVIDIA GPUs, just aren't up to tune with the models that are gonna come in the future, especially the non-Blackwell or the Hopper GPUs. But the second that those Blackwell GPUs could come in, I feel like that could be a great thing for us, allowing us to train faster, better models, A. And B, as a person, I'm very scatterbrained. So an agent that has deeper access and connection to my life whenever it comes to prioritization of different things, whenever it does come to scheduling, breaks, and everything, I feel like that can be a really good thing. Like a third hand or a third eye that can see or read my emails, get it to me, then make decisions on my email. That's all I want at the moment.
Yeah, I would love to have it, because I'm the same. There's so much going on right now to having a true, you know, you say that, you know, you always hear the market of, oh, have an assistant, you know, to help. But I would really love to have, you're on the same, so I'm on the same point as you, because I would love to have an assistant to have it to where it could be able to help schedule. It could be able to help me with, you know, things that are coming into mind that could really not make my life easier, but really as a partner, as a true assistant, it helps to help it to keep in mind and things moving forward. Because as you said, I have so many things, as I'm sure as you already know, with being a CTO, being on the leash, there's so many things going on in your head working customers, with knowing on how to improve your products, you know, with your own day-to-day on, you know, scheduling on the side. There's so much going on. And so having that piece of it, having the AI, would just really benefit and make our time just that much more valuable of, you know, the 9 to 10, 12 hours that we'll have instead of sleeping. You know, how do we make that the most effective time?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And specifically the activities that humans hate doing, like, hey, if my agent can help me do laundry, right? And stuff like, hey, responding back to emails. You know, there's like only one non-trivial sentence that you write down in an entire email rather than the entire email itself. If I can just write down that particular sentence and the AI just does the rest for me reliably, mm-hmm. and in a way that just works, that's the dream. And that's the kind of products that I feel like should exist in today's market.
No, and on that side, before we kind of wrap up, Imani, so what would you say to the customers for on ETOs on the side for the business? What would you like your customers to really know that when to learn more about your business, what would you say?
The one thing I'd like to say to my customers, if any are listening, which I would love them to, is the fact that the industry that we're in right now is changing at such a rapid pace that you do forget to see some discrepancies, which most people don't, right? And I want you to know that here at ETO or Entropy Go Order, we're taking care of those for you in a way that's transparent and reliable and doing stuff that just works.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, then that's great. And then for the new folks that are wanting to learn more and what about, where can they learn to find, like, learn more about you, Niman, and just the business as a whole? Where can they go to find you?
Okay, perfect. So you can go to our website, entropy2order.xyz, or you can find me on LinkedIn. And if you just look up my name, Niman Bashpat, that's where you're going to find me.
Perfect. Perfect. Niman, it's been great talking with you. You know, just your side, just of having it to where, knowing the differences even between, because I think with just what we were talking about earlier, knowing the differences between the Anthropic focusing on the coding, you know, there's so many different variations that sometimes you get confused if they're all the same and they're not. And that's how it's competing and how to adjusting. So as we kind of scale with the businesses coming forward, how to implement, I think this conversation is what's needed to help to grow through, to help educate. And so, and also not even that, to utilize the use case of what you've had, and then with ETOs on the privacy standards, thinking always on the security standpoint as well. For those that are more on-prem, they want to keep more of their data secured on that. So I think that just with ETO, just as your businesses is kind of going forward, this is going to be something that's, you know, critical. You know,
perfect.
So thanks so much, man, just for coming on. And looking forward to like ETO side on the scale. So thanks for coming on. And then we'll see you next time on the next show.
Perfect. Thank you. Thanks for that. Have a good day. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the AI Advantage. If this episode sparked an idea, share it with your network. Subscribe for more No Fluff conversations on how smart tech drives real outcomes. And if you're ready to future-proof your business, let's connect at solonox.net.